felt the Lord truly bless the prayer this morning. Bless their singing, bless their fellowship together. We're looking to Him for the ability to speak in His name. And just ask each of you to pray for me. I'd like to read to you this morning to begin with from John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, can turn with me. The account in John chapter 4 is of the woman of Samaria. When she was at the well and the communication of the Lord Jesus Christ to this dear little sister. Think often about what it's going to be like when we get home to glory and be able to see and have fellowship with those who we read about in the scripture that walked on this earth so many years ago. I do believe that we'll be at home with all of the Lord's people one day. What a day that will be. We sang about it. When all of God's children are gathered there in that place called heaven, that's sure for every one of God's elect. A place that Jesus came and bought and paid for that we might have the surety of that promise. And while we're here in this world, we can read about some that He dealt with along the way. We find that in his Word. And this is one account of just one of His children. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman said unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And upon this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verses 31 up through verse 38 gives an account of a conversation that the disciples had. And that's a beautiful account. But then in verse 39 we read more about the effect of the little woman when she went to Samaria and what took place there. Verse 39 says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans, this verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Savior of the world. The message that we preach is the gospel. The message is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Not a Savior among Saviors, not one Savior among many Saviors, but Jesus Christ, not just a Savior, but the Savior. And He's the Savior of the world. The world under consideration is certainly not every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever existed, but it is a God's people, the world of His elect people, a world that He, even before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That world that Jesus came to save, He came to seek them and to save them, and that is His elect people. And He didn't come to try to be their Savior. He didn't come to run for the office of Savior. He didn't come in an effort to be a Savior. He was born a Savior. He was born when He was born. The day He was born, He was a Savior. Before He ever came, He came, He was a Savior. He has always been the Savior. He is the Savior in the Old Testament. He's the Savior in the New Testament. He's the Savior today. He's the only Savior. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's why we don't preach anyone else. We're not preaching Paul today. We're not preaching Peter. We're not preaching the old Baptist church. We're not preaching the ministers who fill this pulpit so faithfully. We're not preaching those who lived in the past or those who live today. But we're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the way, the truth, and the life, and the one who had the love for His people and the power to save those whom He loved. The one who did not have to even walk in this world to know about the things of this world, but He came to this world because He was the Savior. He came as a Savior. He had to come to be the Savior. And He had to take upon Himself a body of flesh. It says, when therefore the Lord, and that's wonderful to know who Jesus is. I hope you know Jesus today as the Lord. I hope you know that He's not just a person who lived in the past and just filled a space in history in the past, but that He was verily with God and was God even in the very beginning. He's the living Word who was with God in the beginning. And He was the one that God the Father sent, who was one with God, who came as God with us, Emmanuel, and took upon Himself a body of flesh and walked in this world as the Lord. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees has heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And oh, I love to think about that, because Jesus first made the disciples and then He baptized them. He didn't baptize them to make them disciples. As a matter of fact, anyone we've ever baptized or been blessed to baptize, if it has been a proper baptism, and if it's been what's good and right, the way it ought to be, Jesus is the source of that baptism. Wouldn't you agree with that? Now, I don't believe that if we baptized in our own name, well, I'd have got you wet, but you wouldn't have really been baptized. I may have immersed you in water, or I could have done anything else and called it baptism. But if it wasn't done by the authority given by the Lord Jesus Christ and done in His name, in the name of the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, then if you're truly baptized today, first of all, you believed before your baptism. You were made a disciple before your baptism. And that making of a disciple wasn't something you did. Wasn't something the preacher did. It's something the Lord did. So Jesus made and baptized. Matter of fact, everyone, even in John's baptism, was really, if you have a proper understanding of baptism, was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And every one of them, really, Jesus, John baptized them, he immersed them, but it was done in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus was the one who moved in their heart and the one who moved in their life and the one who blessed John, gave him the very authority to baptize. And so all that have been ever been baptized, that have truly been baptized, Jesus baptized. Though he used the disciples to baptize. And we know that from this next verse. It says, though Jesus himself baptized not. Now, Jesus, the reputation from the Pharisees was, and actually from some of John's disciples. You know how men can get so sidetracked sometimes with who's getting the most attention and who's getting the most recognition and who's getting the most acknowledgments. You know, I've even seen in my history among the old Baptist time, every once in a while, even in my own, and sadly, even in my own life, and then among some of the other brethren, we can get sidetracked with that about who's getting the most attention and who's getting the most recognition and who's standing out the most and who's respected the most or who's talked about the most in a good way. Usually, you know, we hope it's that way. Or any of those kinds of things. And brethren, whenever we get in that kind of situation, we get in trouble, don't we? In our services, we ought to be here to talk about the Lord. We ought to be filling our seats to talk about the Lord. We ought to be singing the hymns to honor the Lord. And that little voice coming from row 3 over here is just as honorable as a voice that's anywhere else. If it's coming from the heart to singing praises to the Lord, it's about the Lord. It's about to give the glory and the honor and the praise to the Lord. That's why we're here. And as the preacher comes in the stand, it isn't about whether Brother Gary preaches or Brother so-and-so preaches or someone else preaches. It's about, did the Lord bless the preaching? And if the Lord blesses the preaching, then it really doesn't matter. As one brother said, who brings the water? As long as we get some water, as long as we get the preaching, then the Lord is on. And if you're able to sit there in a congregation and feed upon the Word of God, it's not in order that we can put a little mark down and say, well, I've done my good deed for this week and I've got my little tally mark, my attendance, like I report attendance on my kids, you know, at school. And at the end of the advisory, if they've been there every time, we give them a little perfect attendance buttons. I know some people get the idea that's what ought to happen in the church. Listen, that's not what this is about. We ought to be here because it's our duty to be here. But we're here to do what? To honor the Lord. When John the Baptist was baptizing, there were some of the disciples of John that got a little concerned because even Jesus seemed to be getting a little more attention than John. And they got worried about that. And the reputation went, look, Jesus is baptizing more than you, John. Well, see, John didn't get hung up about that because John knew that I must decrease that he might increase. I hope that's your feeling this morning. I hope you've come feeling so very unnecessary, Brother Gene, so very unnecessary, so that all the glory and all the honor and all the praise might be given to the Lord. I'll tell you, the best place to get lifted up is when you get at the feet of Jesus. And when you're at the feet of the Jesus, you're at the feet of your brethren. And when you're at the feet of your brethren, you may feel the lowliest and the most unnecessary, but it is those times and in those places that the Lord uses us in such a powerful way to where we're the most benefit. When do we have strength? The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. When we're lacking wisdom, we can ask of God who gives us wisdom. And if we think we know it all, we surely won't ask Him for wisdom. And that's when we get in trouble. Now, all of that's there, so we'll just leave it and hopefully move on. I know I've run that rabbit all the way over here. Jesus, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. See, Jesus, there was no one there that could say, well, I got a special baptism because I got it from Jesus and you didn't get it. You know, everything God does is such in a wonderful, wonderful way. The disciples were given the authority. You know, and the church at Corinth got in trouble because there were some who said, I'm of Paul, and some said, I'm of Apollos, and some said, I'm of Christ, some said, I'm of this one and of that one. And he said, did Paul die for you? Brethren, did any other man die for you? I'll tell you who died for you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you got a baptism that's a true baptism, it was given to you by Almighty God. It was given to you through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have His baptism. Of course, Jesus also baptized with a baptism that wasn't just of water, but was of the Spirit, which was necessary absolutely before you could ever administer a water baptism. One had to be born of the Spirit of God. Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And if you look on a map, you can see that from Galilee to Judea lies the country of Samaria. If you go and you're traveling from the south to the north, you got to go. He must needs go through Samaria. But I believe there was a whole lot more than he must needs go through Samaria than the geography. I believe we all have seen where the Lord has worked in our lives, where he must needs go in our lives. You don't think, I hope we don't think today that our lives are just running on their own course. I hope we don't think that we just get up in the morning and make our decisions and go through our lives and the hand of God, the providence of God, the watch care of God, the purpose of God is not all around us every day. Before you get up, it's there. While you're sleeping, it's there. Before you get to the end of the day, he's there. He is behind us. He's beside us. When I rise, when I sit down, he is there. He has compassed my path. He knew where this little sister was before she ever got to the well. He knew who she was. He knew who was going to be there. He knew the events that were going to occur. He knew the conversations that were going to happen, because this one who walked on the shores of the time, though he was a man and had a bodily form and had some of the very weariness that you and I feel, and all of that fulfills so many wonderful things that gives us every reason to pray to him today. Though he knew all those things, though he had all that, he also knew exactly who was going to be there. And it was necessary for him to call every one of his children. Aren't you glad that there's a Savior who will not miss one of his children? Preacher might miss him. Church might miss him. The activities of man might miss him. If we're trusting in men to get all of God's children at home today, we're trusting in fallible failures that will miss the mark. I'll tell you this, the Bible says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And somewhere in our lives, somewhere in the times of our life, we will be born of the Spirit of Almighty God, and we will have, if we are God's children, those that He loved, that He elected, will have a communion with Him and a fellowship with Him, where He calls them out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. And until the Lord does that, we can't see Him or know Him or understand the things of God. But He must needs go through Samaria, because there was one of His little children that He needed to speak to and to talk with. Listen, in your life, somewhere along the way, Nathaniel had a fig tree experience. I believe you had a fig tree experience. I believe you had a place in your life where the Lord worked, where He awoke you from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. You may not be able to go right to that moment and to that time. For some of you, it may have happened while you were still in your mama's womb. We know that God is not hindered by any of that. But at some point, the things of this world that you would only love, that's all you would know. If you love the things of God today and have a concern about them, and I believe you do because you're here. I don't believe you'd want to be here unless the Lord had worked that in your heart. If that's there, somewhere along the way, the Lord came to you where you were. And he must needs go through whatever. We could say he must needs go through Front Row. He must needs go through Brightwood, Virginia. He must needs go wherever we were. There was a time where he came where we were. Listen, if he had been us, had to lift up ourselves to get to him, we being dead in sin would have never done that. because dead men don't do anything. The only thing we would have done is stink in the corruption we were in, because we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And somewhere in our lives the Lord came to us and we heard the voice. The hour is coming and now is, John 5:25, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he spoke life to them. Now, whether this little sister needed life or whether she needed conversion, I know she needed Jesus. And the good thing is, it wasn't up to her to find Jesus, because Jesus came to where she was and found her. And I'm saying to you, if you know the Lord today, it isn't because you found him, it's because he found you. But how important it is for us to lay hold onto that one who has found us in order to have true fellowship and peace and rest in him. He must needs go through Samaria. Don't just read that like he's just going on a trip. He went there to see this little sister. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the ground, parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. And I just marvel at that statement. You ever get wearied with your journey? You ever just get tired? You get tired of the battle? Tired of the fight? Feel like you're just beat up, broken down? Feel like you're in a storm and the wind's just beating on your house and the rain's falling and the flood's hitting you on every side and you're just about ready to give up and you think, I don't know, does anybody care? Does Jesus care about me? Could I possibly be his and going through what I'm going through? Could I possibly be facing all that I'm facing? You ever been in those places? I hope you're not there now, but if you are, I'm talking to you. But if you're not there, you might get there. You might get there before the day's over. Don't want you to be there, but I'll tell you, just as sure as you're in this world, you're not going to stay on the mountaintop all the time. You're going to have some valleys. You're going to have some dark, hard, difficult times. And you and I need someone who's experienced some of those dark, hard, difficult times, who knows what we need, who knows the pain, who knows what it feels to hurt, who knows what rejection is, who knows what suffering is, who knows what heartache is, who knows what grief is, who knows what it is to have every friend you have abandon you and leave you alone, who knows what it is to be wearied on the journey. And do you realize if he had not come and taken upon himself a body of flesh, although as God he would have known all things and could not learn anything that way, yet he became a man that he might understand and know and be a high priest that you and I can talk to. You know, have you ever talked to somebody who just didn't understand you? You said most people. You ever just told somebody, you just said, well, I just want you to understand how I feel. When you get finished, you realize they don't have a clue. They just couldn't reach you. I've had people that were trying to tell me how they felt, and I tried to relate. I really do. I try to put myself in that position. I try to feel, in a sense, what they're feeling, that I might hopefully be of some help to them if I can. But there's just so many things that I just have to simply say, you know, for me to tell you I know what you're going through right now would just be a lie. Because I don't have a clue what it is to, say, lose a mate. I don't know what that's like. I know those of you who have knows what it's like, but I don't know what that's like. I know what some things are like, but I don't know what all those things are like. I don't know what it's like to suffer like some people suffer in this world. I don't know what you're going through. But can I tell you this morning, as a minister of the gospel, I know one, and you know one, who does know every trouble, every problem, every heartache, and you can go to him at any hour, any time, and any moment, no matter what you're going through, and he will understand completely what you have and what you need. Because, see, he was in all points. We read this over in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to ask you to turn there if you have your Bibles. If you don't, I'd like to encourage you to bring them, because it's wonderful to be able to turn and look at a portion of his word. And if you find one there close by, you read over in Hebrews chapter 2. One of the reasons Jesus came, of course, he had to come. Somebody said, well, the Lord, I heard a man one time say that the Lord could have saved us any way he wanted to. He could have done it any way he wanted to. That he didn't, Jesus came and died, but the Lord could have saved us any way he wanted to. I want to say to you, I believe from the word of God, the only possible way you and I could have been saved was through the death and the burial and the resurrection of his only begotten son. That Jesus had to come to save us. I don't believe there was some other way that could have been. I don't think God could have said, I'll just forget it and go another way. See, God's holy and righteous. There had to be a payment for sin. And Jesus had to come and die. He had to take on a body of flesh. He said, as he went in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he not pray unto the Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. And is he not saying in those words that there is no other way, that it could be that his children might be saved and his people be with him in glory, than him to be there and go to the cross? Listen, he had to die on the cross. In order for his death to be effectual on our part, he had to be a man. And he had to not just be a man, he had to be a perfect man. And that means he had to go and face everything, every temptation, every situation, everything that might be possible that we would face. He did that without any sin, that he might die on the cross. But not only did he do that, so that we might have life, and thank God he did it that we might have life, but he also, that he might be that high priest that you can go to. Sometimes people go to men in little rooms and they gather with them and they confess their sins to those men in hopes of feeling better. And I'm not making light of that in any way, because many times it's because a little grief-stricken sinner is trying to get some peace. I'm not making fun of that. Sometimes they might go to the room of a man and they go and tell that man, and that man may say, you do this and do that and you'll feel better, and they go this and do that and try to feel better, and it may be a temporary feel better, but it won't last. You see, nobody has the power to forgive sins but the Lord. And what's wonderful is there is a high priest that you and I can go to, and that high priest is always available. Let me read that scripture. I ask you to turn there. I ought to read it on the... Here in the 14th verse of Hebrews chapter 2, he says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, which means you and I were flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, which means Jesus had to take upon himself flesh and blood. Do you see, if he had not taken upon himself flesh and blood, he would have never been weary from any journey. The one who made the heavens and the earth would never get tired or weary. He neither slumbers nor does he sleep. He, as God, would never be tired and weary. He experienced tiredness and weariness, not because he needed to do it for him, but because we needed one to experience that for us. He took upon himself a body of flesh that he might die as man to save us as men. And he had to take upon himself that body. It says, for as much then as the flesh, children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And I got good news for you. He defeated the devil. I would love for all of God's children to understand he defeated the devil. I would love for all God's children not only to read that, but to believe it. Listen, he paid the sin debt for his people. And there's not one of his people that he paid for that will lose on that which he bought and paid for at Calvary. He purchased them with his own shed blood, and they will be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And there won't be one of them missing that he died for. He didn't try to get some of them. He bought them all. And he brought them out from the captivity they were in by nature. We were under the bondage of sin and death, under the condemnation of the law of sin and death. And he brought us, he led captivity captive. What does that mean? That means we who were captive to sin, he brought us out of that, and he brought us into listen, you're in another captivity today that you can't get out of. Boy, it's a good captivity too. You don't want out of this one. That captivity we were under in sin, it burdened your heart. You want to do better and you can't. You want to live better and you can't. You want to do right, you can't. You find sin is mixed in all that you do. Do you relate to that? That when you would do good, you find evil present with you? And when you're even at church, sometimes an old evil thought will come across your mind, or something your mind will wander. When you're singing Amazing Grace and your eyes ought to be filled with tears, you sing it like you're singing Home on the Range, and just not any feeling in your heart. And we have this old weakness that's in the flesh. Oh, I want you to know, if it was up to us to stay captive unto Him, if we had to keep ourselves under the bondage of His grace, listen, and it sounds strange, doesn't it? The bondage of His grace. His grace grabbed you and it won't let loose. Aren't you glad? His love reached down for you and His love has never failed. When your love lessens, His love never lessens. He who loved you with an everlasting love, died for you and paid a sin debt you can't get out of. You ought not want to get out of it. But even if our heart grows cold and weary, which it does sometimes, our Lord loves us just as much. His love is unconditional and is eternal. It does, and there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you sound like you believe in once saved, always saved. Absolutely, I believe in once saved, always saved. And as a matter of fact, I believe God has an elect people that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world that have never truly been in danger of being outside of His fellowship in heaven because of His great love for them. Now, that didn't mean Jesus didn't have to come, because He did have to come. And that's what this scripture that I'm still reading to you says. He says that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. He did what? He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Which means we could not deliver ourselves, but He has delivered us. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. That is what He said to the little woman when He said, salvation is of the Jews. That means I am that salvation. I am the Messiah. I came from the seed of Abraham. Salvation is of the Jews. And whereof in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Let me get verse 17 again. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Now what does that mean? That means He got weary with His journey. It behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a what? A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. And that word succor simply means to aid them or relieve them. When you're in trouble, you have a friend in Jesus you can go to. I hope that means a lot to you this morning. When it comes time for me to stand before the Lord's people, I don't know what to say. I can go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. When you're sitting in a congregation and you're seeing that old preacher labor and work and you're not getting it, you can say, Lord, help me. Help me. Feed me. When you're facing some trouble, a problem in your home, you don't know what to do, you turn to the Lord and He will help you. You have it on the job and you don't know what to do and how to face what's coming, you turn to the Lord. He will help you. You don't know how to handle the circumstances you find yourselves in. You never thought it was going to be like this. You thought, I have a plan in my life. It's going to be better. And it's going to be better than this. And all of a sudden, your whole life seems to turn upside down. And you think, I can't make it. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm telling you, you've got a friend in Jesus. And it's not like this is not a Hallmark card that makes you feel better. This is not some plan or something men talk about that makes you feel better. Men have all kinds of ideas and thoughts. I'm telling you about the truth of God's Word. You got a Lord, when you look to Him, you will find help in the hour and in the time of need. It may not come just like the way you want it. It may not come at the time you want it. It may not come the way and the circumstances you want it. But I'm telling you, you have a sufficiency in Christ that will never let you down, whatever the situation you have in your life. Whatever you got coming, whatever you have now, whatever you face, even when you face death itself. Makes you happy about living and not afraid of dying. And when we get outside of faith, we're scared of living and we're certainly afraid of dying. Well, where are we going to be today? We're going to believe him and trust him, or are we just going to walk in fear? Brethren, let's not faint. Let's not be weary. Jesus came to this place to talk to this little sister. But he got wearied with his journey because he had a body of flesh, and he wore that body of flesh because he loved you. What would it have been like to be living with the Lord, being God? He is verily God, and he never left his divinity. He was verily God. He continued to be, but he left the glory of heaven and walked in this earth. What would it be like? We don't have a clue, do we? But I know he did that. You know why he did it? Because there was a little woman that he loved that was at the well of Samaria. Was she a good woman? No, I'm telling you, this woman had lived a very loose life. She had lived a life where she not only, the situation she was in at this point, I don't know all about it. I'm just telling you the truth about her. She was a sinner and she was lost and undone. And you know what you and I have in common with her? We all are her. We all are her. There isn't one of us who could say, well, I don't know why he would have talked to her. There would be many who said, I don't know why he would have talked to her. But I'm telling you, that's me. That's you. That's all of us. Who of us have not sinned? The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it had been up to us to get good enough to go into heaven, we would have all been cast away from him forever. And not one of us could have said anything about it in a negative way, in a way that would have been right. Because he loved her, he came, but even more for me, because I believe, I trust, he came because he loved me. And I believe if you love him today, it's evidence he loved you. See, I see all that evidence all over the place. I see it when you're standing in the congregation. You can't hide it. You can act like you hide it sometimes. I've seen some people try to hide it. I don't know why you'd want to. Listen, if you love the Lord today, you are among the redeemed of the Lord. You love him because he first loved you, and that love will never leave you. You cannot be separated from him, and you ought to embrace that and walk in that and live for him. Leave your water pot like she left hers and go tell everybody what great things he has done for you and what a Savior he is. I met a man who told me everything. Has he come? Listen. It was one thing, and he talked to him as she talked. He shared with her the truth about the water, and she didn't understand what he was talking about. How many times have you and I been in places having something going on? We didn't have a clue what was happening. You ever been there? Something's happening in me, but I don't know what's going on. Something's going on wrong. Jesus, as he talked with her, he shared with her. He said, "Look, if you'd have known the gift of God." If you'd have known the gift of God and who it is that said unto you, give me a drink of water. If you'd have known, listen, you know the gift of God today? Do you and I realize the gift of God? She was looking at Jesus, the gift of God. He is the gift. I'm telling you, if he had not come, there would be no good news. There'd be no gospel. There'd be no hope. There'd be no heaven. There'd be nothing to preach at a funeral. There'd be no words of comfort to give to the sick. There'd be no great physician. He is that gift that came, the gift of Almighty God. God gave his only begotten Son that you and I may be washed from our sin debt. And he said, if you'd have known the gift of God. See, Jesus knew her need, though she didn't know that he knew her need. She didn't know who he was, but he knew her need anyway. Aren't you glad she didn't have to find it out for him to know about it or to get it done? The world says if you'll just reach out and grab him. Listen, if you've got to reach up and grab him in order for him to have you, you will never be able to do that. Unless he has come to where you are and awakened you of your need, you will never reach up. First of all, you won't even understand the things of God. As they talked, he said, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now Jesus' well was there. Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. The Jewish day beginning. We got about 12 noon. First hour of the day, 6 in the morning. And then come to 12 noon, the sixth hour. Day started at 6 in the morning. Then cometh a cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Think it's just circumstance? No. He and her alone. Have you been with him alone? Oh, it's good to be with him in a fellowship, in a congregation. It's good to feel his presence when you're with God's people, but it's good to feel alone with him. It's good to feel his presence. I hope you feel, in a sense, always, he's with me. He's with you. To have that communion with him, where you're not just hearing the gospel and hoping, but you feel, and you have a hope, but you have, it's a personal hope. I believe in a personal Savior. I believe in a Savior who saves personally. I believe he deals with you personally. He came to her and him alone. There they were, communing with Jesus. And yeah, a lot of people would look at that. First of all, to speak with a woman in that day and time and under the custom that was there, there would have been many people that looked at that, even as a woman communing with a man, as a problem. If Jesus took the time to come where she was among the ridicule that maybe others would be pointing at, and he spent time talking to her. Listen, isn't it a wonderful thing to think about him coming where you were in your world and taking the time to call you and talk to you? Aren't you glad he's dealt with you? Listen, I know about some of you. We've talked, and I know some of the situations, and I know you're thankful he's communed with you. That's a great blessing. This woman, saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She didn't know who he was. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She didn't even have an understanding how much she needed living water. Though I believe her life was a mess, don't you? I believe she was troubled. I believe she had problems. A lot of people have trouble and just cover them up. Have you ever had a lot of trouble and you didn't want anybody to know you had it and just try to cover it up? Act like I'm getting along just fine. Fooling yourself and everybody else. I'm getting along okay. I don't really need anything. Yet you have a great emptiness in you. Listen, if the Lord's awoken you and you're not communing with him and having fellowship with him and looking to him for this peace and this rest, you have an emptiness in you. And your life will never be on, you'll never have peace and rest until you see of this fountain of living water that he's talking about. Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. What he's got under consideration here is the very grace of Almighty God. Now listen, you don't ask for it to get grace. If you're asking for it, you've already received a measure of grace. But I'm telling you, God's little children, we need to look to him for everything, don't we? I believe his grace has wakened me up to let me know to look to him. But now that he's awoken me and made me able to look to him, I believe I need to look to him. I believe I will miss those blessings when I fail to look to him. I need to look to him for the what I need day in and day out in my life. I need to look to him to be the pastor or the father or the teacher or whatever he's called me to be. I need to look to him. I need communion with him every day. The most important thing in my life is having fellowship with my Savior. If I miss that, then I may gain everything the world has to afford. And what is the profit of man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? That's not talking about a little child of grace losing his eternal destiny, but it's talking about losing. Have you ever lost your peace? Have you ever lost your rest? Have you ever gone after the things of this world and think, once I get them, I'm going to be satisfied, and you get them and you feel like, what a waste of time. I've just wasted my health and my money and my effort. Been sold a bill of goods. And it's like putting money in a bag with holes in it. Just kind of keeps, you're not getting anywhere. I'll tell you, every minute, every effort you've ever made to serve the Lord in this world has never been one wasted minute or one wasted effort. Everything you've ever done to find more communion and peace and rest with him has been worth it all. What he said to her, if you'd ask of him, he would have given thee living water. That living water is the grace of Almighty God. Grace that sustains you, that helps you. helps you through the troubles and the problems and all the situations of life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and thou then the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? See, all she's thinking about is water in the well. Isn't it wonderful, though, how when the Lord finished with her, all she could think about was the water pot and filling it up until the Lord finished with her, and then she left the very thing she'd brought her to the well. She didn't care about a water pot at all. You know what I have found the truth to do? It'll cause God's children to change their priorities totally. What used to be important isn't important anymore. And what is absolutely most important is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the water pots, all these things will be added unto you. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And I love this question. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? You know, she's looking at Jesus. If it hadn't been for Jesus, there would have been no Jacob. Jacob was loved of the Lord. He was elected of the Lord. If it hadn't been for Jesus, there would be no chosen. There would be no Jacob. And furthermore, she was claiming Jacob as her father, but as a Samaritan, they said mixed up with so much stuff. They were serving Jacob, but they have all kinds of other idols. It was like what you see in many religions today. Jesus was one of the many ways. Listen, if you see a religion that says Jesus is one of many ways, you have a false religion, and they don't even know what they worship. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, ye worship ye not know what. In other words, you don't know what you're worshiping. Yes, you claim to be serving the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the Samaritans did, but they also had all kinds of idols and idol worship mixed in with that. And the Jews were serving Abraham and Isaac, serving the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jesus, being of the Jews, he says, we know what we worship, but oh, and I'm not going to get to all that. Time is gone. That little woman, Jesus called her out and said, I know all about your life. You remember the time where he's come and let you know all about it? You know, that's one of the greatest evidences of the work of the Lord in your heart. When the Lord opens your eyes to who you are and what you are. As long as we're walking in the flesh, we kind of think I'm good as everybody else. I'm good as most people. Better than, you know, sometimes we probably have all said it. If we haven't said it, we thought it. I'm good as most people. And better. I know a lot of people. I know a whole lot of people. We usually say it this way. I know a whole lot of people worse than me. We don't usually say I'm better than anybody, but we just say, I know a lot of people worse than me. I know I got my problems, but I know a whole lot of people a whole lot worse than I am. When the Lord finishes with us, we feel to be the chiefest sinners. Where are you this morning? Do you feel like Simon, or do you feel like the little woman at the feet of Jesus, weeping because of her sins, washing his feet with her tears? Do you see yourself as, without him, what a mess I am. Listen, now I look at old Gary, I said, what a mess I am. Find myself having to apologize all the time on the job for something that I got a little huffy, a little puffy, and had to say something, and then I think I'm going to get by with that, and next thing you know, I got to go back and apologize. I got to say, well, I'm sorry. And then when they don't act like I apologize, I get upset with them and say, you know, they didn't even act like I apologized, and then I got to go apologize about that. And the longer I live, the more I see that. Sharon and I have a good fuss, and I want to just win so bad. I just want to be the one who wins. I have to go say I'm sorry. And I mean really feel sorry. I'm not talking about it. I mean feeling it. He's done so much for me. I see sin mixed in all that I do. And yet he loved me anyway. Enough to come and die. Pay a sin debt. Pay a price. That one day I won't have sin to deal with anymore. Do you long for that day? Listen, I'm not serving him just to get out of hell. I don't want to go to hell. Oh, hell is a frightful thought. I'm thankful he saved me from that hell, but I don't want to just die just to get not to go to hell. I want to be with him in glory. I want to sing praises to him there. I want to feel what it'd be like to be free of this old body of sin. I want fellowship with him. I don't want to just miss hell. I want to be at home in glory. Heaven means something to me. Not just a place you don't go. If you know, in other words, a place you go just in order not to go to. If we're serving the Lord just to get out of hell, which some of God's children got this, that they're so scared. They're frightened. Well, they should have peace in their heart. Listen, the Lord died for you so you wouldn't go to hell. I'm thankful for that. But I long to be with him, don't you? What I get in a good old Baptist meeting is the closest thing I can feel here. But I'm looking for something better. Where I don't have this old self. And I am sorry. I love you. And I'm thankful we can say that to one another, and in the forgiveness of the Lord, clean the slate. Find peace. What a Savior. What a Savior she had. That's why she went and told everybody. She left her water pots. Are you still holding on to your water pots? What have they got for you? Listen, there's one greater than Jacob who can spill your water. He can take care of your natural water. He can take care of your spiritual water. And you need him. You need him in your home. You need him in your life. And he is that friend that has you, and you are in his embrace and can't lose him, but you need to hold on. You say, that sounds contradictory. It isn't contradictory because he has you, but how much better it is for us as his children to lay hold onto the one who has you. You lay hold onto him. You'll find the rest and the joy and the peace of that. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you. We love you.
409. Love you, my brother. What number?
409.